Welcome to another edition of what I call American Exposé, and actually it's a different program tonight. The introduction of a new host, a new perspective talk show host, Nikki Rapana from the Anti-Communitarian League. The Anti-Communitarian League, listeners, is the number one partner website to ours, American Exposé. The Anti-Communitarian League and Nikki Rapana. Welcome to the broadcast, Nikki.
Thank you, Chris.
Privilege to have you up here, a privilege to hear you tonight and see where you take us. And you have much vast knowledge and information, and you even know how to sing.
Well, we'll see about that. I'm going to give it a shot, though. I am.
Okay. Let it roll, my dear.
Okay, this is it. I go now, huh?
You're on.
All right, Chris, thank you so much.
My privilege.
So I just start right in. Okay, hi, my name's Nikki Rapana. I am the co-founder of the Anti-Communitarian League with my daughter, Nordica Frederick. I've spent the last, like, half hour trying to decide exactly how to introduce myself, how to introduce our work, and it led me right back into singing, which is pretty much the most comfortable medium that I've ever done publicly. I'm not much of a public. Oh, I'm just getting myself so nervous. I'm not much of a public speaker, but I am. I feel a strong obligation to come on tonight and talk about communitarianism and maybe clarify some of the areas that people who visit our website get lost there. We've got probably about 230 pages, topic pages now, and some of them run as long as, I don't know, 150 megabytes of space, so they're 20, 30 pages long. So no one can go to our website and get a very easy, simple grasp of communitarianism or why we're opposed to it. That's always been another issue with people. They can't quite understand what it is that we're against, or they think we're against everything. So there's just a lot of confusion. It's been that way since we started the work 7 years ago. Actually, it's been since March 30th, 2000 is when I found the Communitarian Network and started reading the books written by the founder of the Communitarian Network, Dr. Amitai Etzioni. He's a professor at George Washington University and the director of the Institute for Communitarian Policy Studies. And that's right at GWU. Very accessible information. Wonderful webmaster there. They put many, many volumes of archive information online. The bibliography is extensive. All of Etzioni's earlier works, some of them are in Adobe Photoshop, but you can pull them up and read all the way back to his dissertation in the 50s. So you can follow Dr. Etzioni at any time yourself. You don't need to use my website. You can go right to his, he has a blog, and he writes regularly there. The it's really the best place to go for the source would be Dr. Etzioni. The problem is nobody in the country that I've met so far, besides ourselves and a couple of other people maybe, have ever heard of Amitai Etzioni. So I decided that maybe tonight the most important thing to be get out there in front of you for your, you know, for wherever you want to take it. I don't know what people want to do with this information exactly, and that's really not our goal. Our goal is just to expose them and discuss them at length, if possible, with other people who are also studying them. But I don't endorse any type of action or plan because I really don't know what to do about these people. If you want to know the truth, it's not I've never been an activist. I'd never went to protests. I've occasionally written letters to the editor, and my background is not political. It really is as a musical performer, and I didn't even like to have to do lines in the plays that I was in. I always wanted to be in the chorus and dancing, so I guess I could start right in with there's a political communitarianism is one of the most obscure topics that anyone could pick to talk about or write about, and most people can't even pronounce it right away, and I was one of them when I first found them back in 2000. I was so excited because I'd been looking for the laws that had been passed in our neighborhood plan in 1999 that specifically targeted myself, my landlord, and some of our more lower income neighbors. And when I found the terminology that they were using to describe us, it was very unflattering. And it piqued my interest, and the more things happened over the year with the plan being implemented, the more interested I became in trying to understand where they learn terms like quality of life and livability. And anyone who's familiar with neighborhood planning or rural planning, land management planning, is familiar with these terms. In fact, all your new government in America uses the terms livability and quality of life. And so if you ever ask them a question about any kind of action they're taking in your specific area, they will more than likely tell you it's a livability issue and leave it at that. And they never want to explain, or they certainly never want to explain to me what they meant by these terms. And so I needed to know what they meant, because I didn't feel like we had the same dictionary going on, because my idea of livability was to leave me alone, and as long as I'm not hurting anyone, you don't get to come in my house without a search warrant. Just your basic American expectations of life. Their expectations of what I had already given up. They told me that I had already been balanced, basically. So it was really confusing, and I know I'm making it confusing again now for anyone who's unfamiliar with the term communitarianism. So I'm going to go back and start over again on my notes, which are, I want to separate it into five major topic areas for people. I think that in this, if this doesn't work, it, at least it's a new way of trying, because I've tried so many ways now. But political communitarianism is the overall program that's being implemented in every corner of the world right now. Every new piece of legislation in the United States, in Great Britain, in Australia, in the Philippines, lots going on in Manila these days. Obviously, the Iraqi constitutional provisional government or whatever they got going there now, I haven't been following that. And plans for the rest of the world. The Organization of American States just finished their, basically their new constitution for the United States in collaboration with the United Nations. There's a lot of different ways and different names for all these plans, but all of them, every single one of them in the world, all the way down to the Roosevelt Neighborhood Plan in Seattle, implements communitarian law. And that's another one of the five. Okay, I'm just going to read them off. Number one that's most important to me is economic theory, and I'll get into that and explain what SEONI has to do with the new economic theories. And then number two would be legal theories. It's also known as community acquis, is the term used by most of your international bodies. The legal theory is international law, but it is also being enforced in the United States under other names. They don't call it communitarian law here, but it most definitely is. And then there's number three would be the philosophy of communitarianism. My daughter and I wrote our thesis and published it online 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago to the day, where we explain, where we think the Hegelian dialectic comes into play as far as the whole formula for presenting the communitarian solution. We say that communitarianism is the synthesis in the Hegelian dialectic, and I'm not going to spend any time on that tonight, so don't worry about that phrase unless you're very interested. I do have a tutorial on our website called What is the Hegelian Dialectic? If you're interested, you can go now, but I'm not going to try and bring in too much of the philosophy. And like number four is communitarian religion, and I don't think I'm going to go into that too much either, but yeah, the religious part of it is the hardest, and it's actually the one I've spent the least amount of time on because it's painful for me to look at how people of all faith have been, I don't even know what the word would be, but anyway, people of all faith believe in communitarian values, and that's because communitarian values can switch off, they can be, you know, merged with this one and back off on that one, try not to be too offensive, try not to be too aggressive. It's the middle ground, they call it that. And so you'll find people on the right, on the very far right, who support communitarian values, and then you'll find people on the very far left that support it also, and then you'll find people who support all the primary communitarian programs, but then they'll deny that they have anything to do with communitarianism at all. So it gets pretty mixed up in just the economic theory and the legal theory and the philosophy, but the religion is really going to be the toughest for... We may never finish this portion. So all of these are part of what is called the political system of communitarianism. And I wish it wasn't so long, and in fact now the new term that Amitai Etzioni has just introduced is neo-communitarianism, even though it may have been used prior to recently, but I just found it. So now it's not just long enough like communitarianism, now it's neo-communitarianism. So it's part of the reason why I left the name of our organization, the Anti-Communitarian League. People for years were, they didn't like the fact that we were against anything, that the anti they thought was real negative, and that I could go to a more positive name for our organization, and we've discussed it many times, but the reality is nobody knows what communitarian is. So we need that word. We need to use that word. We are against it, so basically anti-communitarian is pretty much the only identifier that works for us right now. But we're not negative people. We didn't start out in this negative. I actually, in the beginning, felt very positive that I could find the American law that supported my position in the neighborhood, and that would be that, you know, that they would look at the law and say, oh, we're sorry, we didn't mean to overstep the constitutional parameters for government. But in fact, they pretty much ignored us, laughed at us, ridiculed us, and never once really redressed anything directly, although they did back off on the program. So you can be effective by asking questions. You can be effective by really just showing up. And for most of us, showing up is the hardest part of the whole game. And That's why we don't know anything about it. Not that they're talking about communitarian systems in the meetings that you're going to. If you are invited to one of your neighborhood meetings, they're going to be using the softer language, the different... I should probably go to my website now, because this is where a lot of this information is, and it's not all just right in my head. I'm looking at my website, and this is really kind of fun, because what I thought I might do at some point tonight, too, is go through my statistics and tell you a little bit about the people who come to the website and the type of information that they're looking for. It's fascinating to see what ended up happening with our work, because when I first started putting it on, I just wanted a place to really to put our thesis so that Dr. Etzioni would have to look at it, and that others in the American Sociological Association and within the Communitarian Network and within the political science departments, I started writing a lot of colleges asking them to please rebut our argument, or and I was ready to be thrashed. I was ready for any kind of response that would disprove everything that we said and show that we were wrong about where the communitarians came from. But after 2 years, no one's come back and said anything, but they've certainly visited my page. We've been linked to from the Communitarian Network's links page for over 2 years. So I know they've been, and that they've read it, and that at this point we've had minor observations made. Some really good things have come back from people who have helped us to tighten different areas of our manifesto, but no one's really come back and said we're wrong. So basically we're right, until they say that, I think. Not that that matters to Etzioni or anyone else at The Hague or any of the other places that he's going, but it does matter to us. And we will continue for the rest of the life of the ACL to get someone in upper academia who understands the philosophical argument that communitarianism rests on, and we don't see that forthcoming immediately, but we will definitely keep trying, because we're Americans, and that's what Americans do. We just keep trying. So I'm trying not to get too into the hardcore patriotic values that I had in the beginning, because as just about anyone who knows that as soon as you bring up the Constitution, they'll call you a constitutionalist and shut you down. Patriot is not a good word anymore. American, is... is so slandered, and so a big part of the goal of our work too is to restore honor to the American people and to the American system, which we feel has just sort of been eliminated under the new program. And at the same time it's being eliminated, the American people continue to live as if their system still exists. They jump through the hoops. They don't care. Whatever this government throws at them, what new regulation they have to do, what new paperwork they have to get, what permission slips they have to get signed, how much is it going to cost? You can't work without there's a lot of hurdles to running a business in this country, and our people are still out there every day doing it, starting businesses, making money in spite of all of it. So I know that if we had the opportunity to live in the American system as it was designed and as our people believe it is, that's core to it, we still have a whole country full of people who know how to do it, that it could be wonderful. So that's our hope. Our faith really is based in the people that we know, that we've seen struggle. We've seen them start over 100 times. This is a country where you get to start over. If you mess up or you change your mind, you get to go do something else, and everyone respects it. I pay a lot of attention to what we talk about to each other. I travel quite a bit. I've traveled my whole life, And Americans are all about ideas. They like to say, hey, yeah, I got this idea, I'm going to try this. And then the person listening will say, well, yeah, I know a guy that might be able to help you with that. He kind of did the same thing, and let me give you his number. And it's that, to me, that's the American system in a nutshell. And that's exactly what the communitarians say that we as a people don't have anymore. They say that we've lost touch with each other, that we have no communal bonds, and we're just these selfish, individualist, greedy, horrible people that use all the goods on the planet or whatever, you know. Yet we share, we do everything that we've always done, and they just made it harder for people to... you know, you can't give away what you don't have. So the less we have, I can see the less that we're going to be willing to share with each other. But right now, it's like what I read and what I see are not the same thing on any level. So I walk around in my little dual world trying to find my spot, and sometimes it's very hard, and sometimes I don't do that good of a job either. You know, when I start writing on topics that I'm unfamiliar with, I get so lost in the research. I mean, there's 100,000 books out there that I need to read that I never will have time to read. And I've already read, I don't even know how many books. I tried to count one day and it was just too much for me. I just read so much. And then I read so much more when I tried to figure these people out. And then I have to read my own stuff that I write, and I hate it, and I change it. So it's just been this huge outpouring of too much information. And you're already living in a world where there's already too much information. There's too much going on in the news. Nobody can come up, you know. After Katrina, I spent an entire month writing about it and looking for stories and links, and it took every waking moment that I had. And then during that time, I wasn't studying anything the communitarians specifically were doing, even though I think that Homeland Security is definitely a communitarian organization. But I mean specifically where Etzioni was or what was happening over at the network. It would probably help if I moved to D.C. sometime. I was thinking about moving there and taking classes from Dr. Etzioni, but I haven't. I'm in Alaska still, and that's really not on the table in front of me, but people can dream, I guess, and that's kind of what my whole organization is about. It's about the dream, you know, that the possibilities that were laid out in this country over 200 years ago for, you know, real human existence that is protected, where you're, you know, no one was allowed to hurt you in this country, and now people got a lot of permission to hurt each other in different ways, take their driver's license, take their bank accounts, take their things, take their property. Community organizations can come along and abate your property. It's sad to watch, and it's not where I want to stay. I can't stay in the sadness. It'll just upset me to make me, there's a mentality of, you know, the more unhappy you are, you know, how can you be useful? So we're looking for ways to be happy in it, and at the same time we're chronicling, you know, the events that are leading to the end of America. So finding a way to live with it and finding a way to not let it get me down is why I love music. And I was going to sing earlier, but I kind of changed my mind now. Because I just babbled for about 24 minutes straight, and I guess it's going to be a little bit easier to do this than I thought. I hope I'm not talking too fast for people. I have a tendency to go, and we're coming up on this half-hour break thing, and I want to be ready for it, so I don't want to be in the middle of anything. But I'm going to review what we just went over. There's five portions to communitarian political systems. Number one, economic theory, which is social economics. Number two, legal theory, also called community acquis. Number three is philosophy, also known as the Hegelian dialectic. Number four is religion, and it's Zionism, faith-based, Talmudic law. Number five is the entire political system, which is ruled by men, as opposed to the American system, which is ruled by law. So now, we're at 6:24. I wish people could call in already, Chris.
Well, listen, if they want to call in, the caller number is 559-781-3773. 559-781-3773. And you're doing fine. Most people don't have a clue if they haven't done it before. When the microphone's in front of them, it just takes time to acclimate yourself to it all. And certainly, when you go to your website, there are many directions to turn, and you've done a tremendous job with it, and that's why I figured, well, what the heck, let's give her a shot on the air. And certainly, you know, we have to increase our banks of broadcasters. There's no other reasoning behind it except the fact that if we don't, we're left without a network. And that's the point. People that are versed like you have to be heard, and it's a pleasure to bring you on. Certainly, you're doing a great job, and it's a lot of work, what you've done in your website, a lot of work, and most people don't have a clue what that's all about and how difficult that is. So as you present your information, as the Mondays progress, it'll get easier and easier. And that's the basic direction that you're going to be doing, is unraveling your website to the listeners, as far as I'm concerned. That's the best thing for you to do. As there's so much there on the Anti-Communitarian League website, listeners, and keep in mind that this is the website's been together for 5 years, you say?
No, we went online in January 2003.
Okay.
So it's been almost 3 years for that now, and I started doing the hard copy research in 99.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and then I had about, I don't know how many thousands of pages I wrote in hard copy and passed them around, put them on my fence.
Yeah.
Told you about that, didn't I?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I didn't have, you know, a website then, so I did feel a great need to get it out there. So this is good, and, you know, I'll do everything I can to make it, you know, as interesting to follow as I can. That's the problem. It's so huge, I haven't even thought about how do you condense it into an hour, you know?
Well, keep in mind, you just do a little bit each time,
mm-hmm.
and then it builds up to where the archives are there at First Amendment Radio. People will want to tune into those archives the more they hear you. And the progressive direction will continue, and certainly... here you are, broadcasting live, your first show. What's the name of your show, by the way?
Oh, I have to have a name for my show?
Well, you can figure it out later.
Let Freedom Ring.
Let Freedom Ring. That's
some of you probably already has that one, don't you think?
Not that I know of.
Really?
No, not that I know of. And listeners, communitarianism is the emerging global synthesis. It's our supranational world government, and there's the bell. What do we want to do?
Oh, right now?
Let it go.
Can I sing?
Go.
Okay, I'm going to start this half out with this song, and if it's really bad, we won't do it again, I promise. I'm trying to debate, I've been debating with myself, between a Jewel song that kept me going when I was living in the woods for the 4 months when I was working for the
You'll sing it when you come back from the commercial pause, because we're about to run into it.
Okay.
When you come back from the commercial pause, you'll hear from Nikki Rapana's voice, her singing voice, as we continue the broadcast. Stay with us.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil, because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening. Notice firstamendmentradio.com is looking for new talent. Do you have the gift of gab? Do you got what it takes? Are you ready to go up against Alex Limbaugh, Rush Jones? Are you funny, entertaining, as well as informative? Maybe you know a local talent whom the nation deserves to hear. Send us a sample or email a bio for a live tryout. The nation is waiting to hear a new voice. It may be yours. We'll let the audience decide. Email us today, talent@firstamendmentradio.com. talent@firstamendmentradio.com.
Go.
Go?
Go.
I come to the garden alone while the dew's still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. My sister Kathy and I used to sing that in church when we were, in second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh grade, up until we were in high school, and then we did it at a few revivals, and since that time, I haven't really been back to a Christian church very often to baptize my children and funerals, you know, and weddings. So I can't say that my faith is, you know, that I've walked in it all my life. I walk in and out of it. I'm one of those. I'm a sinner, you know, I admit it. But when I need strength, I am one of those people who go right back to my roots. And, you know, the music was always so much more a part of the church than anything else that we did. My mom played piano. It was just a big part of it. And I was so glad when I grew up and got involved in this, because the first time that it really hit me what we were up against with the Communitarian Network and who these people were, I was just so glad to have the Lord on my side, because otherwise I don't know where I would have found the strength to stay and fight them intellectually, because this is an intellectual war. It's not a physical war. It's intellectual, and for many people it's very spiritual. You know, I know that people think that this is a war over our souls, and I think that it is definitely for the soul of humanity and for genuine human existence to continue to thrive on this planet. We cannot have other people telling us what we can and cannot think, and how we can and cannot feel, and how we can and cannot express ourselves. And that joy in the expression is just, it's missing now. It's like we already have a culture of people who are intimidated and trying to go along and don't want to stand out, and they don't want to be different. And you know, I'm like the most different person I ever knew when I was growing up, so it's really hard for me to understand the group mentality, you know, and why people want to fit in so strongly, but they do. But when you do that, and when you submerge yourself into a group consciousness and you don't think about what you feel, or, you know, you really can't hear your creator talking to you either when you're listening to someone else all the time. It has to come from within. And, you know, my little bit of strength that I had to stand up for the Constitution of the United States and feel so strongly, and I didn't care that I look like a nut to some people when they're like, why do you care, Nikki? I said, why don't you care?
Yeah.
And I still feel that way.
Well, you say right here, individual rights versus community rights is the most ignored topic of the 21st century. And this is why Trish found you and your dissertation on Agenda 21, which is the best dissertation on Agenda 21 I've ever seen, which has been put on our website. Darren put it on there. And this is the whole point of getting to you way back when.
Right, that was the page that they found me on, huh?
Right.
Yeah, that's actually been a very well-hit page. You know, it's in our top three because, you know, if people are starting to hear it. It's actually, you know, it's in the news now. It's not like we made it up.
Well, you say individual liberty or regulated communities. Which does your law support? And what happens with individual liberty when you lose it? You lose individual pride. And pride is what made this a country strong.
Yeah, I think pride coupled with the humbleness of the place that we were. You know, when I was a kid, it's that old thing when my dad would always say, and other older people would say, you know, you might not like it here, but it's better here than anywhere else.
Right.
And that reason, why was it better here than anywhere else? Because here you had a chance, and no guarantees, but you had a chance. Where, you know, we all knew as growing up as children that if you lived in Cuba, you know, you didn't have much, and you were, you know, the Soviet system has never really been anything that nobody wanted to try to immigrate to the Soviet system, you know what I mean?
Never.
People had to go there, they got sent there and deported there. But it seems to me like everyone that I've read, from Wells to Russell, all of them, you know, all the Fabians and all the people that supported the Bolsheviks, once they went to Soviet Russia and saw the lifestyle there, they went over there. And they weren't real happy with it. They were, you know, they spent a lot of time bickering about, you know, if Trotsky would have been any better, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is what you give people that kind of power, whether it's a Hitler, a Pol Pot, or a Sharon, or a Bush, they're not going to use it for the public good or the common good, because what is that? What is that? They're going to use it to take care of themselves and their own. So on some level, that's what we do, too. That's what I'm doing. I'm taking care of myself and my own. And just because of the way our system is built, that I have to protect the rights of Etzioni and all the communitarians in this country in order to ensure that we still have them. Isn't that trick?
Well, it's just so vital that your information's heard. absolutely.
Well, you know, I like the truth and the lie now. I finally got that pretty clear in my head. You know, and trying to explain to people the difference between rule of law and rule of men, which is what I'm doing on this homepage now, so that people see the, if nothing else, so that they can hear their own politicians use the lie.
Right, and so you state that you are students of communitarian thinking. While all ACL, that's Anti-Communitarian League, topics connect directly to communitarianism, we primarily study the communitarian New World Order.
Yes.
And you have it laid out with political communitarianism, religious communitarianism, philosophical communitarianism, communitarian legal theories, communitarian versus American economics.
Yes.
And there's where UN Local Agenda 21 comes into place.
Yes. A lot of them overlap. Like, you know, Agenda 21 is also a law.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, and the environmental movement is also a religion. And it's definitely a political agenda, too. I mean, they're all pretty much political, come under that. And they all sort of blend over to law, because, like, religious law, you know, is part of it, too. So maybe this isn't the best, you know, breakdown of it.
Well, you know.
But it's the best one I've done so far.
You know, as you go through your directions, as you pick your topics, it all comes into place. As you move along, you just can't encapsulate in 1 hour what you've done over a period of years. It just can't be done. But certainly, in our Congress, we have the third way, and most people don't even know what the third way is. And then
I agree. I think the people that vote for third way candidates don't even know that. In fact, how many people in this country knew when they were voting for George Bush that they were voting for a communitarian? And
no way.
How many knew that when they voted for Clinton and Gore they were voting for communitarians?
And wasn't Al Gore a communitarian? Yes.
Yes.
And John Kerry?
Yes. Hillary Clinton, they're all communitarians.
And so
are all of them on the right.
Let's take Dave from Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow. Hello, Dave.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
Very interesting program. I've heard Chris before, and I've got involved with some of this about 3 years ago. The hard part is trying to get people to listen.
No doubt about that, Dave.
The two big obstacles, I think, are sports and television.
Well, certainly, and you know, the NFL and the United Way being married together, and most people don't know the United Way is a non-governmental organization of the United Nations. That's a big one right there.
All right, so what we need to do is get a television show and turn it into a sports game called War on Words.
Well, the next problem would be to get on the air.
Yeah. Well, actually, this is my first... really delving in the radio, but I when we were trying to talk to people in my neighborhood, they were calling us some pretty rude names. How about you?
Well, they kind of walk away. Absolutely. You try to give them different websites to look at, and I just don't understand why people aren't curious. I mean, I don't want everybody telling me how to live my life. I never really did. And they can't see this. I mean, I see it in the workplace with the different programs that they have in there. You know, it's a social programming to me.
All right, social engineering is very slickly done now.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're against it, then you're a bad person.
Absolutely.
Or there's something wrong with you, or you're a troublemaker.
You don't go along with the group.
Right.
In the group.
And if you don't, you know, for me, I didn't know that that's what was going on when I went to the meetings. So I became very, I thought there was something wrong with me. So the first thing is that at least you don't know it's you, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, yeah, because I that was where I was like, well, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I don't like this.
I had that feeling earlier on in life, you know, why do I look at things a little bit different here? I can't understand why people can't crucially think about what's happening. They just kind of fall for everything, more or less. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, and they can't seem to look ahead and understand, hey, we're going down a dangerous, slippery slope here. I've listened to Chris before, and quite frankly, that's where I got a lot of my information, and after I started to look through there and understand the Hegelian dialectic, you can understand how they've programmed the people. I think that's a crucial part to get through for people to understand the problem, reaction, solution.
Yes, you're exactly right, and certainly the 20th century is replete with directions to deceive. And I always take it back to Korea, the Korean War, the Vietnam War. And I did listen to Darren tonight. I was encouraged by his enthusiasm to do a broadcast. and he covered Spite House and what happened during the Vietnam War. And the 20th century is our learning curve to where we're going into the 21st century. What do you think, Dave?
Well, absolutely. That was more or less their practice ground, I think, to see what was going to work and how much they could actually get away with. And they got away with a heck of a lot.
Oh, yes.
But
by all means.
I think maybe 9/11 pushed them over the top.
Well, I think someone told me there was a poll recently, and something like 79% of the American people think 9/11 was a setup. They were polled, and as we send our sons and daughters off to war, another one, more and more people are starting to wonder, well, gee, what is this all about? Why is this situation continuing? And what is this all about when the Communist Party in Iraq is erected and the IMF is there in everywhere, in every way? And so we connect these dots, and then you start to wonder, well, gee, well, I guess we're in a setup scenario today.
Absolutely. You just put it, the connecting of the dots. There are so many things. It's like looking at a 4x8 pegboard, and you start going into each one of those little holes, and lo and behold, the same names keep popping up. I've noticed that, you know, when I first got into this, you know, here comes Rockefeller and DuPont and so on and so forth. And later on down the line, well, lo and behold, you start following things back. The same people are involved again and again and again. And they have been throughout history. It's to me, it's utterly amazing.
Yeah, I call it nepotism and bloodlines rule.
It's major deception. And we have fallen for it, all of us.
Well, and see, that's why this network is so important to support and spread the information on the network to others as we try to do our best to expose the situations in place. And certainly the Anti-Communitarian League website is the premier website that I recommend to everyone.
I haven't looked at it, but I certainly intend to after listening this evening.
Oh, really? You haven't seen it before, huh?
No, I have looked at the material that you have and have worked with that and listened to another program with the Paragon Foundation with the land rights, and I understand pretty much, I think, what the United Nations really wants to do here, and that's nothing more than a deception. It's a setup, once again.
Right, and there are ways to do the same thing that you're doing with the families, you know, that go back 100 years. The same thing in your own neighborhood, Paul. The people that are involved, the stakeholders, are significant players. And everyone who participates in the meetings, what I did in Seattle was I started looking at them. I started from the neighborhood and went up. I didn't know anything about even the state level, the federal level, and certainly not the international level. So I spent about 2 years just getting everything I could on the elected city council members, where they owned property, when they bought the property, and it can get really, it's really just as interesting at the local level, and it's also something that will connect with the people that you're talking to, that you're trying to talk to, because then you can actually talk to them about their own elected representatives and what committees they sit on, and, you know, why are they supporting community development in your neighborhood, and are you in a rural or urban area?
It's an urban area.
Urban. So you've got the urban redevelopment, pedestrian-oriented transit plans.
Empowerment zones.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Cleaning up the city programs, revised noise ordinances.
Are you seeing any of that in your neck of the woods, Dave?
I can see the ordinances starting to come in slowly. I mean, you know, there again, they use the Hegelian dialectic. You really don't want to do this, but you have to understand with more people, and it's, you know, they lead you down that path, and it's okay, well, I guess, and next thing you know, hook, line, and sinker. And after it's implemented, well, then you have a problem. It's easier to keep it out than it is to get it out if it's implemented.
And that's the problem, isn't it, Nikki?
Well, you, if you can find out where the meetings are and go to them, like in Seattle, I wrote a lot of letters and I got on the, I wanted to be appointed to the citizens panel for the revised noise ordinance. I went to that meeting and then they wrote an ordinance banning me from going uninvited to any more. I signed up for everything once I found out this was going on because I really didn't understand it. So I went to the Neighborhood Action Team committee meetings. You know, any of the meetings that they that had anything to do with my community or rebuilding my community. And yeah, I knew all my local players. They they also were, you know, I wasn't I was mad at what was happening, but I was never mad at them individually. So I got along with a lot of people in Seattle. It was like they did try and help me. Because at the time I just wanted answers to the questions and I wanted to know how to stop it. And we were able to stop it for a little while. And if there would have been more people with me, like, you know, I'm sure that you're seeing this, alone, you can still, you can make some headway. If you show up at the meetings and get your comments on the public comment records, things like that, make them follow the rules for land management plans and for revising the laws. If they're doing a noise ordinance there, you can definitely trip them up because they don't have a definition for noise. And then there's a couple of things like that, you know, where in their the old law used to say, whereas we need this law because blah, 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 and here's the definitions that we're going to use in the body of this law, and then the part three was here's the law. And in the communitarian law, it says, whereas we all discussed it and we decided we were better than everybody else, and whereas, you know, we decided that everybody around here needs our help because we're here to shore up the moral, social, and political environment, and whereas we're practically God, here's the law, and then there's no definitions. So those are all clearly the ones that you can look at and go right to your city council and ask them for their definitions. And, I mean, it's a lot of work. And I think that's, it's not just so much that there's distractions. I think that it's because this is work. What you're already doing is work, Paul.
Oh, Dave.
Dave, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're working, all the reading is work.
Working full-time and trying to go to these meetings is a difficult thing, too, because I work during the day, and they conveniently have our county commissioners have their meeting at 11 o'clock in the morning.
You're kidding.
Oh, no. So isn't that convenient?
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of the meetings I found were like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but all our city council was public hearings at 7 o'clock at night.
I hear that from a lot of people, that their meetings are during business hours when they can't attend.
So it's a rubber stamp operation, more or less. Other than the Patriot Act business, quite a few people did show up for that with a resolution to say, hey, forget that. You know, we want our Bill of Rights. Forget the nonsense with this Patriot Act. Quite a few people did show up for that.
I think that Patriot Act resolution that was introduced by the ACLU is part of the dialectic.
Which means, to the listener?
Oh, it means it's a tool for implementing something else that they want.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're looking for a solution. They set up both sides of the problems.
Oh, absolutely. Right, like in the news media, a lot of times they'll have their official opposition.
Yeah. The ACLU is basically, ACLU, excuse me.
Right.
They're the main dog for setting up a phony opposition side. You know, I'm sure of that now.
Well, it's a monster, and Dave, you're seeing it in your neck of the woods. We're seeing it wherever we are. We're trying to expose it nationwide, and that's the benefit of this network, First Amendment Radio.
Well, I really appreciate what you're trying to do here, and it's the hard thing is, Chris, getting people to listen.
Yes.
You know that. I mean, you try with your website and everything else, and we hand out, a few of us are handing out cards with websites stamped on them and trying to get people, hey, look, before this goes down the slippery slope, let's stop it.
Yeah, we've got to stop it before it's implemented, because once it's implemented, then you have the army behind it.
Absolutely. Then you have a real problem to get rid of it.
That's right. You're absolutely correct.
Right, and the goal is to stop it before it gets to a point where you have no options. Because when people have no options, then they do desperate things.
Desperate people do desperate things, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the younger people have no idea of what's going on.
No, they don't, and they're brainwashed in the schools.
School system, absolutely, absolutely. They've covered their bases here. This has been a slowly,
very methodical.
Absolutely, and just slowly worked in. And after a while, you don't realize it, but it's that camel's in the tent, and next thing you got a problem. But again, getting people to listen. That is so difficult. They'll listen to you for a few minutes and walk away. You give them the card, and you often wonder, did they throw the card away or did they look at the websites?
Well, as things progressively impend themselves upon us, people will be wanting to learn more and more. I think we're reaching that crescendo pretty quickly. And the more involvement people get into this, the more they're going to realize, just like we all woke up at a certain time in our lives, that they'll have to wake up too and wake others. Because when you see the draconian directions of the federal government with Katrina and the hurricanes, you see that Homeland Security is in charge of everything. And when people wanted to help down there, and they brought all their supplies to help the people down there, they were turned away.
Absolutely.
And that was FEMA's job, is to take control.
And
so
they sure took control, didn't they?
They did.
Where did those people go that were moved out of there?
We keep asking that question, don't we?
Where are those people? They've been relocated.
Yes. And maybe some are not happy with where they are.
Well, I couldn't understand why they were taking them to forts and telling them they couldn't leave and couldn't do this and they couldn't do that, and they had to have full medical checkups and all this.
And the vaccination, more than
likely. You know, like they were going to camp with the, you know, they went to Army camps. I'm an Army brat, so it's not like it's terrible there or anything, but the way that they did it was very creepy.
Dave, I appreciate your call, my friend.
Okay, and thank the both of you, and I intend to listen and learn a lot more.
Thank you very, very much.
Okay.
All right, Dave, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Well, that was a nice hour, Nikki, your inaugural broadcast. We'll try to do this every Monday night as you're able. Is that correct?
Yes, we will.
Okay.
I'll get a little more organized.
And I'll pipe you in, and we'll do this next Monday night with Nikki Rapana, and I'll be back tomorrow night. And, Nikki, thank you very much for your endeavors.
Chris, thanks for the opportunity, and thanks to Darren, too, and Jackie.
And you,
everybody at First Amendment Radio.
And Nikki, you stay with me.
Okay.
Good night, my friends. I'll talk to you tomorrow night with Brett and his endeavors with Ted Turner. We'll be back tomorrow night. Good night.
What I think, and what do every day.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading.